I'll admit I haven't been this frightened since Shiloh. Maybe I don't know what that means.
We don't know what happened at Shiloh.
I know.
Like, or maybe it was a bad ex-girlfriend. I know, right? So remember that thing with Shiloh?
Remember that bitch? That bitch was scary. This was just about that bad. Nobody wants to admit they believe in ghosts.
There are just a lot of unanswered questions. Most people would be like,
I like how people react when they hear about our podcast.
We were right.
There are things back here.
I don't want milk. It was a miracle. We must explain it.
Hey, 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 hey.
Oh, hi.
It's here. Quarantine 257 on Maytober 2020. What day is it?
I'm 82 years old.
It's been 25 years.
But at least I can now shop in the early morning hours.
But you know what helps? Monsters.
Oh, thank God for monsters.
Thank God for monsters.
Haven't stroked out yet, kids.
And we did go for a nice little walk today. Kept our social distance.
Yeah, the streets downtown are one way.
Correct. So there's one way to walk and another. But there was like almost nobody.
Yeah, there was almost no one there. So, and people were keeping their distance.
Definitely.
It was really respectful.
Although it was a hot weekend this weekend. And people, please. If we want to keep our privilege of being able to use the beach.
Yeah.
Like, you guys. You have to chill.
Yeah, you've got to stop putting your towels 10 inches apart.
You have to chill. I didn't see a whole lot of people, but like the parking.
The parking was way overcrowded.
And there was, and then the next, oh, sorry. And then like the next lot down, the parking was great. So people are just like crowding because, oh my God, there's parking right here.
It's a real panic thinking right now. Yeah. Like people were parking along the highway instead of in an empty parking
lot.
And
there was an empty parking lot literally like a little bit a ways down.
They see one car on the side of the road like, oh my God, we got space.
Exactly. Don't do that, you guys. Just relax.
Yeah, the beaches weren't too bad. There was one beach yesterday on my way home that I'm like, God, that's a little close.
I know. But, so, I mean, we're not totally, I mean, I don't even think we're 1 foot out of the woods yet. I mean, like, I see it going there and that's great, but it's got to be, obviously, for us to be able to go outside, which is a huge thing right now. Thank God we're not like other countries, like my parents in the Philippines.
Yeah.
It's like, it is super regulated. They'll stop you and ask, where the heck are you going?
Oh, they will.
And even when my mom said when they go shopping, they want one person. And so we really need to be not only grateful for like what we have right now, but also like don't ruin it.
Right. We're not entitled. I mean, there's sometimes it's that little bit of entitlement. Like, no, it's hot. I'm going to the beach. Like, well, maybe you could.
And you can. That's the great thing. We can go to the beach, but be smart about it.
Yes.
It's not like like business as usual.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay, I'm done.
Maybe you go to a local park, though. I mean, there were a lot. That was the thing. People were freaking out on social media because they were checking the license plates in the parking lots. Like, this one's from another state. This one's from Bakersfield.
We need to stop that, you guys. That's a little.
People could have bought their car there. They could have moved from there. And also, maybe they need a beach, too. That is a really hot area.
Exactly. Like, come on, don't be like that.
Oh, it's so nuts. Even Cayucas up the road from Morro Bay had someone put up a makeshift sign that's like, stay in your zip code.
No, they said something like, keep your germs in Morro Bay or some shit like that.
It was something like this, but I think they were like, keep your germs in 93442.
Oh, it got specific.
There was one like that. Yeah, and I was like,
Jesus.
Dang. But one of my friends in Cayucas, one of our friends in Cayucas was like, oh, okay. Are you shopping at the corner grocery? Because the grocery stores are in Morro Bay.
Exactly.
It's true. We just all share the space.
Share a space. Be kind to people. And please don't police other people, too, because that just bugs the shit out of me.
We can't get mean and weird with each other. We have no idea why a decision was made.
This is what they want. They want us to police each other.
We fight each other while they commit crimes.
My tin hat's falling off. Hold on.
Oh, let me fix it for you. And mine, I bobby pin mine.
Okay.
I bobby pin
mine. Oh, okay.
Yes,
see, you're good with your tin hats.
Oh, no. I need it on. I need constant protection.
But as usual, we're here.
Hello, everyone.
You know that show. You know, we talk about strange and odd things.
And it's called
Wait, What? With Paula.
And Elaine.
And you guys. So thanks for joining us. It's your turn.
Ooh, I go first. Okay.
You go first.
I'm talking about UFOs.
Yay! My favorite.
But I was looking. Have you heard of the National UFO Reporting Center? And it's not MUFON.
Yeah, yeah. I have heard of them.
It's like NUROC or something.
Yeah.
New Fork.
MUFON's been around
Yeah, that's been around a long time.
But I think that one's fairly new.
And MUFON definitely has more, there's a lot more awareness of MUFON, and I think they might do more work, but New Fork is really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they have this, so they have the, you know, they both have a little bit of a makeshift feel to their websites, mm-hmm. but they have these reporting areas where people can report what they've seen, either now or a memory of something that happened 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about New Fork, and then I'm going to, you can look at the most current reports and where they're at. And there's a map to show, like, there right now or in the last month was a big cluster across the Midwest of reports of UFO sightings.
Oh, it's like every day. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's something almost every day.
And this is why I say, like, even if most of those reports are not true.
Yeah.
All it takes is one.
Some of them are. Yeah, there are a number. And they kind of, what's cool about New Fork is they go on and they, I don't know how deep their investigation is, mm-hmm. but they do a little investigating. Because by a number of them, they're like, could be the Starlink satellites.
Right.
Those are the, I think those are the rows of lights that people sometimes see. But there are other things that aren't obviously a satellite that it doesn't match.
Cool.
So New Fork has been in continuous operation since 1974. Mm-hmm. It has cataloged almost 90,000 reported UFO sightings over its history, most of which were from the U.S. And that's the thing, like, not everyone knows about these places, so what's reported is a fraction of what has been witnessed or mm-hmm. believed to have been witnessed.
And, you know, people have seen things that not everybody will report, because then they'll think, like, oh, well, people are going to think I'm crazy.
Oh, my God. A person could have an alien knock on their door in certain circles.
Yeah. And they'd be like, don't say anything.
Please go away.
Right.
Before my husband comes downstairs. Yeah. We're God-fearing people. You need to go now. Now just get along.
Get. Yeah, it's true, though. Yeah. Like, people won't report because then they're like, oh, you're like crazy town.
Yeah, I would not I, but they're definitely people who would rather not admit the truth. And I'm sure I have done that. I've certainly done that when I pick up a candy bar at times. Is that alien related? But I'm like, what harm can one candy bar do? 10 candy bars later, I'm like, oh, I see. It triggered. It was the doorway.
I understand now.
The first candy bar was the doorway, gateway candy bar.
Those gateway. What's your gateway candy bar? We'll get you started.
Well, any candy will get me started on candy, but like a thing where I'm like, ooh, I'm going to have this.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm trying to think because I know there are.
Cadbury?
Well, definitely when it's Cadbury. Easter season, the Cadbury eggs. And I also like the little Cadbury chocolate eggs with that hard crunchy candy on the outside. And I picked up a Lindt's, I think it was Lindt's or Lindor or somebody. They did one like it this year, and I was like, God, that was a goddamn fucking failure. I ate all of them, but I did not buy a second bag.
You know what's funny? Because I love, like, Reese's peanut butter cups, but there is a saturation point with me. Like, I'll be like, ooh, I can't. The one that I cannot stop eating, which is so weird, and it's such an old school candy, and it's like you either love it or hate it, Circus peanuts.
Oh, my God. I bet my daughters would be like, oh, fuck yeah. We remember when mom was into circus peanuts. Because I had rituals. I'd, like, squish them down.
Yes, I love them.
They're so damn
it's
good.
It's like being able to eat, like, clay, but sweet clay.
Beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful sweet clay. But, it, like, you know how, you know, the stress things?
They're like stress balls.
Like, but they're like, you can
edible
also eat
stress balls. Like, if they handed those out in hospitals.
So you like circus peanuts.
I love them. I haven't had them in a really long time.
Good.
Oh, my God. But I went through a period. I must have found them in a store when we lived in Michigan.
I don't want to tell you where they are. Oh.
Where are they?
They're at the 99 cent store.
Oh, and they're only 99
And they're only
cents.
Nine or a dollar store.
And I was just saying, like, I don't want our coworkers who are self-isolating to come back to work and be like, whoa, Paula, you definitely ate some feelings.
Well, maybe it could be
months.
A reward.
Okay, maybe once I've lost, because I am working on shit.
But that's one where it's like, I'll get a bag and I'll just eat two. Hell no. I'll eat that fucker.
I know exactly who I am. And that is always me lying to me.
Yes. I'll eat it till I'm licking the bag. Like, oh, I know. That is the one I cannot stop is circus peanuts.
Yes.
So I do limit myself on that.
Oh, I don't remember ever folding down the top of a circus peanut bag and putting it away for later.
That people can do that?
I don't even know how they discovered it. I don't even know truly what it's made out of.
It has a weird orange color.
The consistency is like no other candy.
It's just pure. That's so funny. Fluffy fucking sugar that has a weird banana taste.
There's something. There's a banana. It doesn't taste like orange. I mean, they're definitely orange in color.
They're orange in color, but there's a weird like artificial banana.
There is a fruity undertone. Element,
but also like a cotton candy situation.
I'm looking up the ingredients.
This became a circus peanut discussion.
Oh, they come in different colors now. Orange is the classic.
I will not accept other colors.
Oh, no, there's gelatin in them. That means they're not vegetarian.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't think I've had a circus peanut since I stopped eating meat.
Oh, boo.
Maybe that's good.
Maybe you just didn't look it up.
I'm going to look up a recipe.
I'll edit this right out. never fucking happened.
In this universe, I never looked up the ingredients.
All right, I'm sorry. Back to UFOs.
That's so funny, though. That's one of them. A candy bar I loved as a child. I'm not letting you segue back to our actual show. I hear you, and I'm going to just brush that out of the way.
That's fine. I see that you hear me, and you're brushing me out of the way, and I'm okay with it.
Because you feel acknowledged.
Yeah, right.
Those Abba Zaba candy bars with the peanut butter in the middle, they're really good because you get the surprise of consistency, and it's that sweet and salty.
Yeah, so good.
Oh, okay, one more that I love. I really like Bit of Honeys. I think
I love Bit of Honeys.
Oh my god, we're so compatible in our candy love.
I love Bit of Honeys. And I'll warm them up too. Like I'll sit on them.
They're the best warmed up because they can be a little bit hard. But when you soften them, with your body heat,
I'll just hold it on my. I'll hold in my hand.
Worth it. It's worth.
Worth it. Worth a couple minutes. Oh, okay.
I'm gonna start carrying a few in my bra so they're ready when I want them.
They're all nice and warm already. Oh my god. And also bit of honey, also the dollar store. So
I'm just gonna do my best.
Thank me and hate me at the same time.
I feel both feelings. No, I don't hate you at all.
Okay
let's see now, back to Newport.
They've cataloged
flying saucers, colored lights, and triangles. Triangles come up a lot.
A lot.
Both in the lights and other things. I'll be bringing that up
okay. A
little bit later. But that shape, I don't know why, but it comes up in different scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like there's just a triangular spaceship. There's some other meaning
to
that shape.
Like the pyramids?
Oh my god. Yeah, like the pyramids. I don't know if you've ever heard of those pyramids. They're triangular.
Not just Egypt. But
across the world. There's
pyramids, and they didn't have a way to communicate with each other.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's a good one. I forgot about the pyramids.
Oh, beebity-beebity. As an ancient alien theorist, I actually think that the triangle... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to wave my penis.
Don't be kidding. Yeah, wave your penis
around. My ancient alien penis.
wave your vagina around. This is a woman in charge.
My vagina. I just feel like the actually is a penis based word.
Oh,
actually, it feels like a phallic sound.
Yeah,
actually,
heart up and then down.
That's right.
Job done.
And then when you go, oh, those are the balls.
And those are the hairy balls. All right, so Newfork, in addition to record keeping, the center has provided statistics, graphs to assist others looking for information. And they have worked with MUFON, they claim.
Right.
Projects. Yeah, they collabed. Since it was established in 1974, it has provided 24-hour hotline phone number for people to report UFO activity that is currently going on in their area. So then I was looking at the list that goes on for a while, but just in April 2020, so this April, there have been 71 reports, and that was a lower month. There were months that had like hundreds of reports, but there have been 71 reports across the U.S.,
and
then they list the date and the time, and the person can write a description of what they're
seeing.
What they saw. Yeah.
Always interesting.
It's so interesting. For example, on April 4th at 2 p.m. in Kihei or Kihei, Hawaii, someone reported seeing a sphere lasting 15 seconds. They said they described it as a white golf ball shaped object hurtling across a clear blue sky. And so, and then this is their whole write up. Sitting in my jacuzzi at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, staring at a mostly clear sky, I see a very clearly white golf ball shaped object hurtling across the sky. Mm-hmm. I watch with a feeling of satisfaction as it disappears into the clouds forming above Mount Haleakala, which is a 10,000 foot elevation.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought was perhaps a drone, but I do have drones and this was very different. I would estimate that at speed, it would cover horizon to horizon in about 1 minute.
Wow. What?
So moving really quickly.
Yeah, that's not a drone.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a drone we have great drones, so far,
granted.
But we don't have like some supersonic drone.
And what would be the point?
Well, it would be hard to really focus on what it's
It would just be
filming.
Like, look at the blur I took.
If you could see that, it would be da-da-da. Let's see. Cover horizon, horizon. I was wearing my 2-week-old polarized prescription sunglasses and saw very clearly a golf ball shaped object that was perhaps the size of a Volkswagen Beetle.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Up to, 1 to 2 miles up in the sky, hurtling in a straight line with purpose. I'm a dedicated sky watcher, and this is the fourth questionable object I've seen since 1976.
Wow.
Yeah, and then many reports describe V shapes and triangular sets of light, wow, lights on April 6th. Let's see, on April 6th at 6:50 p.m.
This April 6th.
I mean, not yeah. These are all, these first couple are from this year.
Mm.
This is Daytona Beach, Florida. A person said Monday evening, 10 p.m. in the vicinity of the International Speedway Boulevard and North Nova Road. I'm a former U.S. Coast Guard and served at Otis Air Force Base. Also a certified Raytheon 64X band radar tech. Like, he's giving you his credentials. Like,
so he doesn't, like, he doesn't seem like he's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. He knows what's expected, what, and what's unusual.
Correct.
And what he saw, he said, what I saw was not a drone. It was not a helicopter or jet. I'm also located half a mile from the Daytona International Airport and contacted the control tower.
Mm.
So he's in that circle where he's got access,
mm-hmm,
and the FAA and the following morning at he's not using periods. So I'm, little bit of it goes together. At approximately 10 p.m. on Monday, April 6th, while attempting to locate the comet Atlas,
mm-hmm,
I observed 9 circular white crafts, in a V formation, all identical, flying low in altitude from a southern direction and moving northeast toward Ormond Beach. This formation of white orb craft flew directly over the roof of my house in a perfect V formation.
Mm.
I could see that this was not a solid craft, but composed of 9 individual craft. As I witnessed, the lower third and fourth craft of the left side of the V formation wavered in place slightly. As they passed over my home, they flew in a flight path directly under the Big Dipper, which was also directly over my home. At the time, they were completely silent, moving fast. Wow. So he goes on a little bit. I mean, he might not be who he says he is,
right,
but he definitely words this description in a way that sounds like he saw something.
And that triangle, like you said, I mean, the one that made the news and they still can't explain is the one over Arizona. They called it the Arizona Lights or something.
A lot of reports in Arizona.
Yeah. It basically, like, when you watch the video, it starts to flicker off and on, but you can see that there's a formation.
Yeah.
And when they all finally kind of light up, it was a triangular formation. That triangle formation is around, so there's something to that.
Very common. Oh, this was an interesting one. This is September 5th, 2016, Orlando Park, Illinois, during the night. I woke up in the morning with 3 equally symmetrical dots on my left upper wrist. I'm not aware of any insects in our room or bed. I do see a lot of activity around our house in the sky. I have seen this strange neon green, like, shoot down about 5 times now. Looks like Nickelodeon slime green color. I was a part of the Tenley lights and the phase sighting. Oh, I didn't look that up.
Oh. know, so I maybe need to look that they're up. Like,
so he was, I am a believer, but as much as I want to believe, I really like hard evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then he submitted a photo of those little marks on his arm.
And?
Which are definitely in a triangle.
Oh, that's definitely a triangle. But, I mean, that could be anything.
His big, hairy arm. But, I mean, yeah, you
big, hairy arm.
But, I mean, you could easily create markings on yourself. Yeah. So there's no, like, this isn't evidence. But these are
You can't with any of these UFO, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, with any of these UFO sightings. Because even, like, if you have video, it's either people claim it to be too fuzzy or too clear. And if it's too clear, it has to be fake. So
exactly. Like, people can question anything because anything can be doctored. So you just look at the number of reports.
Yeah.
The kinds of reports. Right. People are describing if it's multiple times and they haven't heard each other's stories. And it's funny. I'm going to share one more story.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go in into how to become a... I think this was on MUFON's page, but how to become an investigator for MUFON, which is a 100% volunteer.
How cool.
Run. I mean, it costs a little bit of money.
Oh.
That's the thing. Like, you join, but we'll get into all that. Okay. But why I was so excited about it, and I included the information in my research because, like, they have a really cool baseball hat. And a patch that I super want.
Really?
And I totally want us both to have.
Oh, my God. So we got to look at it. This. Okay. God damn it. We're if sucked we into their with, merch.
I know. If there's a second stimulus check, I definitely want to get this. I can't help it because I just think it would be so great.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So this one was June 15th, 1997, Borrego Springs, California.
Hey.
Is that Southern California?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's, close, I think, don't quote me on this, but that's Borrego Springs is a little east of San Diego-ish.
Okay, maybe? So it's way down
south. It's way down south.
I went camping off of Old Cane Springs Road, Borrego Springs, California, just south of Highway 78, north of El Centro in the Anza Borrego Desert, BLM lands. Arriving just before sundown to meet up with a friend who had arrived earlier in the day. My friend carried on and on about unmarked gunmetal blue jets flying very low passes at very high speed over the area since early afternoon. I did notice jets flying upon arrival, but it wasn't surprising since I knew the Navy's proving grounds, mysteriously called Superstition Hills, was just a mile or so southeast of our campsite. You could see the chalky white hills slightly poking up from the desert floor with commercial air traffic from El Centro Airport in the background. After setting up my tent and popping a beer, we enjoyed talking and watching the full moon rise from the southwest as El Centro's plane traffic was visible to the southeast. Within 15 minutes of sundown, out of the blue, two gunmetal blue F-18s whizzed over us at extremely high speed, extremely low, lower than I've ever seen.
Mm.
And they came around again, crisscrossing each other in the skies at least three more times. My friend went bonkers, proclaiming he wasn't a liar, and I couldn't argue with him. This was amazing, and I ran to get my binoculars. I don't know what he accused him of lying about.
What?
I don't get that part.
Maybe are they chasing something? Is that what he's implying?
I know, maybe that's it. Let's see, with binoculars readily in hand, I chased them around the sky as my friend frantically searched for his pair. I mean, this, some of this detail is unnecessarily. I felt a little tummy ache. I noticed I was getting a little hungry. At one point, the two jets lined up together side by side, very low bearing southwest toward the direction of Table Mountain, easily zooming together or directly overhead at over 400 miles per hour. On approach, they split up and disappeared over the first set of foothills. My friend was still searching for his specs as I watched. I mean, how many things do you bring camping that you can't find your binoculars?
My friend cracked open a beer.
As I watched, totally stunned, as a large glowing presence rising from them, from where the planes disappeared. I had no idea what I was witnessing as the entire side of Table Mountain lit up, and then I freaked. Small red orbs started to manifest below the whitish glow.
Ooh.
As the glow, because at first it's just like these fighter pilots
are just whizzing around.
I mean, they'll be really show-offy, and they love to test their limits. So that it could easily be all that. But then they went toward what became a visible
something.
As the glow grew brighter, these red orbs crested the mountain in the formation of a huge clock. The lights continued to rise together in a fixed circular formation until an entire clock formation was visible. In the middle of the clock of red lights, a nebulous blob glowed brightly when all of a sudden two smaller red lights at 4 and 7 split away and flew off in opposite directions at enormous speed, disappearing over and around Table Mountain. I surmised that they were the jets I had just seen, but it was hard to tell. The shimmering red orb clock formation then rose up over the crest entirely in view and disappeared over another ridge, and then the lights dimmed into darkness. The hillsides went back to normal, moonlit desert, and I was screaming aloud that this was the wildest thing I had ever witnessed.
Oh my God.
But then it got wilder.
What?
I just love these guys camping in the middle of the... Oh my God! I'm not a liar. I'm not a liar. This is crazy. All right. The strange giant clock lights. I have to really focus to say clock because at a glance. Okay. Clock lights had appeared.
Clock lights? What is this, a bachelorette party?
What are you, a movie star down there? So the clock lights, they appeared and disappeared into the mountain landscape in less than a minute. All occurring as my friend finally found his binoculars in a futile attempt.
Really? An hour later, friend? He's
the
drunk.
The real plot is the search for the binoculars. We don't care about the others. But a futile attempt to zero in on the subject of my pointers. I guess he means his fingers. All he could make out was the glowing mountains, but I excitedly recounted in detail what I had just seen. We relayed the experience to one another for perhaps 10 or 15 minutes as we scoured the sky and landscape with our binoculars. We got
Thank God he finally found it. I was on the edge of my seat.
Okay, yeah, yada, yada, yada,
yada,
UFOs.
Yada, another planet.
Where are his binoculars? Right. Those cost a pretty penny.
I was going to say. Mm-hmm.
We got tired of looking with the binoculars and grabbed another beer to begin settling into camping. When very casually, my friend suddenly pointed about up toward the southerly sky and said, What the fuck is that? I looked to where he was pointing, but I couldn't see anything. I was looking past it. The moon was full and bright. And right there, about 1,000 feet off the ground, was an invisible moving object. I don't know how they saw it.
How do you...
You know, it was very nebulous and with no hard visible lines. Within or perhaps attached to it were a random arrangement of lights and varying brightness, virtually indistinguishable from the stars in the sky. It was insane. We could not make out the actual shape. But the nebulous blob, did you want to say
no?
Okay, you leaned in like,
I was like,
I think he's crazy.
I think maybe something's in the drink.
I know. When they said they grabbed another beer, I don't know what number that was in the lineup of beer.
Right. We don't know the timeline between the beer and the sightings.
We don't.
But it's the desert. The desert, there's some crazy shit out there because they don't think people are out there.
Yeah, and then there aren't bright city lights to dim the
whatever.
Yeah, what you're seeing. Let's see. The nebulous blob of sparkly lights appeared to be about 2,000 feet off the ground and about 2,000 feet away, perhaps the size of a smallish blimp. It was also totally silent. We grabbed our binoculars. If you look directly at it, it essentially disappeared into the background. You could really only see it if you looked to the side or below or above it, reminding me of how we were told to view Andromeda by looking to the side of it. He's just having a lot of information come together in his head. The past, the present. Moving extremely slowly from the northwest to the southwest, at various points it would just stop in the air, hovering silent, and discharge what appeared to be a bunch of flash bulbs going off in random order, as if it was trying to blend into the sea of stars.
Is this like the same version of like when airlines dump out the like toilet stuff?
Is this a UFO dumping? Yeah, the nebulous blob was their excretions.
No, I was thinking like, you know how he said that there was like lights coming off of it? I'm like, that's just alien poop. Don't mind it.
Right? We all know it glows in the dark.
Don't mind it. Mm-hmm. That's why they're in a desert. They're dumping it. What can it hurt?
This is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Alien poop. I was a skeptic of UFO stories before this happened. Was this aliens? I don't know. But if it was, given the earlier presence of the F-18s and their accompanying the mothership, he's now named it the mothership, As it lifted over the mountains, the U.S. Navy is definitely in cahoots with them.
Look at that. Well, he like just wrapped it up in a nutshell. Well, this obviously means they're in cahoots.
Oh, yeah.
They could have been chasing them, if anything. I don't know if about in cahoots.
Well, cahoots is a funny word to
use. In cahoots. I used to go to a club named In Cahoots, but...
Is there a club called Cahoots?
I don't know if it was called Cahoots. Yeah, it was like a country western bar in San Diego.
Cahoots.
And I'm not big on country western, but we would go there Wednesdays because it was like dollar drink day or dollar drink for like a couple hours. So,
oh my God.
So my disdain for country music is not that bad. I'll go in for some drinks.
If you want to give me $1 drinks. I like country music. I like all the music. So now about MUFON. So that's all New Fork and their stories that they gather from all over the U.S. And MUFON is all volunteer, like I said before. It is a nonprofit. And they call themselves the world's oldest and largest civilian UFO investigation and research organization.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really loved about their site is that there was become a MUFON field investigator. Because it's like...
What?
Get going with the process of becoming a MUFON certified field investigator.
Oh, certification.
And I'm just going to show you the hat. I love certification. I put the prices next to them. The hat is $20.
Oh my God, I love it.
That patch is the investigation UFO research MUFON star
that
team.
That is cool.
But they have different levels in their merch. You know, like they have the merch available to everyone.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to be the certified investigator to even be able to buy this. Ooh. Which I get the marketing ploy there.
Yes.
But I'm listening.
Because that means like if you have it, it's like.
I'm special.
Yes.
When I show up, I've paid all the money.
Oh, you want this hat? Oh, you can't, actually.
You can't have it.
Actually.
Actually, you haven't earned it.
I had to. I'm certified.
So there's the hat. There's the patch. And so you join MUFON, which is, I don't know, like $100 a year or something.
Okay.
It depends on the kind of membership you want. There's some that are much lower.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pay for the online training, which they call MUFON University.
Oh my God.
It's $179.
Okay.
I know. And I don't, you get access to certain videos and things.
What?
And then you can also buy the MUFON Field Investigation Manual as part of your training. That costs $80.
Whoa.
For a manual. It's a spiral bound manual.
Oh my God. I mean, kind of sold.
I want it.
I know.
I want it so bad. And I don't know. And then we can talk to them. And they're directors, like, you know, like MUFON directors up in Northern California. There was one in Southern California. We get in touch with them.
What? I kind of want it.
I mean, what if they have a MUFON convention?
What if they have a MUFON graduation? And there's like a gray alien handing out.
Can you imagine the content we would get from all of that? So that's it. We've just got this going on all the time. People are seeing things almost every single day. Many of them are reporting them. They're reporting agencies. Oh, I should put where. So newfork.org, N-U-F-O-R-C, which is National UFO Reporting Center. That's what it stands for.
Mm-hmm.
And then MUFON.
MUFON.
Is MUFON.com. And that's... Mutual UFO Network,
I think
that's what that stands for.
Great story. And now it gives us like kind of a...
Well, and when earlier you said as an ancient alien theorist, I was like, closer than you think.
I can get certified. Remember, I wanted to be certified. Like, how do you do that? Whew, great story.
Thank you.
My story today, and I just realized since I told you this earlier, I'm like... Why am I talking about like holes in the ground? But I'm talking about another, well, not a hole, a tunnel, the Hoosac Tunnel.
Ooh, I haven't heard of this.
AKA the Bloody Pit.
Oh my God.
And I'll explain why. Okay. So that's
Hoosac Tunnel.
Hoosac Tunnel. And I'll explain why it's called that and everything. Sources are Atlas Obscura and AmericanHauntingsInc.com. Okay. So. The Hoosac Tunnel, I've never heard of it either. I saw like a blip about it from my favorite YouTube channel, Bedtime Stories. And then I started researching it and I was like, ooh. Actually, I didn't even watch the Bedtime Story because I wanted, sometimes when I watch it, I feel like I'm doing their version.
Yeah.
In my version. But anyways.
Okay.
But the stories are so similar that I mean, either way, regardless, but that's nothing. I'm just babbling now. So the Hoosac Tunnel, it's a railway that burrows almost 5 miles through the Hoosac Mountain Range in western Massachusetts. Beautiful and remote Berkshire Hills. Okay.
I think it's the
Berkshire.
And I'll just quickly say why I know that so it doesn't sound condescending.
I don't care.
It's because on The Real Housewives of New York, one of my favorite characters has a place in the Berkshires that they always like to go to.
Where is, here on the hills or whatever.
Like in the Berkshire Mountains, I guess.
So this is probably it.
Is it near New York? Oh, Massachusetts. Yeah, that's close to New York.
So the land apparently has been haunted for centuries. There's ghost stories are super common there. There's tales of spirits in the forest, calling voices that have no source. And of course, people who've wandered into the woods never to return again.
Love it.
Now the hole, though, the bloody pit, the tunnel, actually just added on to that. So construction began 1851, the height of spirits, and finished in 1875, 24 years.
Time. How long is this tunnel?
I don't really know, actually.
Okay.
I think I have it at the bottom.
How long does it have to be? Well, it'd be 20 years worth.
Well, only because 24 years, 200 men died over the course of these 24 years. That's what gives it the nickname, the Bloody Pit.
Mm.
Now, the reason...
Maybe they were blasting through rock or something.
So that's one of the reasons why it wasn't a quick thing because, back in the day, they didn't have all that... I mean, they could blast a hole, but most of it was like a guy with, a couple guys
chipping away. Oh, damn.
The tunnel was one of the greatest undertakings of the region, and the work was started in 1851. And during that period, there's like hundreds. They usually mostly used black powder, shovels, picks, and their own hands. Ugh. They fought against, the rocks and whatever. Yeah. And by the time it was finished, there's all these deaths.
Mm-hmm.
They died in fires, explosions, tunnel collapses. Jeez. And in one case, there was actually a supposed murder. Murder, right. So that's a hell of a job.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like when we're at work and it's hot, same thing.
And we're like, who ate the last popsicle?
Right.
Like that?
Yes. Oh, so we understand.
I fucking get it.
We understand suffering. So there was supposedly a cold-blooded murder that occurred in 1865, and it kind of gave this reputation that this tunnel is full of ghosts, of these like vengeful spirits. So it was during the year that they found out another explosive, or they learned more about nitroglycerin, was introduced to America, and the construction crew of the Hoosac Tunnel would kind of have the honor of the first of the crews to use it.
Oh,
so on one afternoon, March 20th, 1865, three explosive experts named Ned Brickman, Billy Nash, Ringo Kelly, they decided to use the nitro to keep, to continue work on the tunnel. And they placed a charge and ran back towards a safety bunker that would like shield them from the blast. Now, Brinkman and Nash never made it there because for some reason, Ringo Kelly set off the charge before the other men could make it there. So basically, he set off the charge and those guys weren't back. And the two men.
So it wasn't like a wick they were lighting, like he pushed a button?
Apparently, that you could push a button and set off the charge.
Okay.
But that way they could go to the shelter and then like light it and they'll be safe. Apparently. Uh-huh. I don't know how exactly it works, but that's what it seems like.
Can you imagine you start to leave the tunnel and you see the little spark going down the wick? You're like, well, that's fucked.
Well, that's not supposed to happen.
Okay.
Or maybe the wick was at the bunker just to make sure that they make it to the bunker.
They light it from there.
Correct.
I mean, you would think you'd like a long wick.
Right,
that kind of endeavor.
Exactly. Or like... Yeah, I don't know. Why not just get out of the hole?
Well, yeah.
If you're going to have a long wick anyway.
If one of the guys I'm working with is running out of the hole, I'm not going to hang out in the hole.
I don't know. Or maybe it's because you couldn't have that long of a wick. And maybe they were outside. Anyways.
Sorry, so, it's 1851 and we only have 1 inch and 2 inch wicks.
I know, like, right?
Well, 2 inch, I guess.
So soon after the accident, apparently this guy Kelly vanished without a trace. And a lot of people believe that the accident with the nitro was not an accident because he disappeared shortly after.
Yeah.
And he wasn't seen again until March 30th, 1866, when his body was discovered 2 miles inside the tunnel.
Oh, wow.
And it was found at almost the exact spot where Brinkman and Nash had been killed. So the authorities, they said they didn't exactly know what happened to Kelly and that only that he had been strangled to death. The sheriff, Charles F. Gibson, estimated that he had been murdered between midnight and 3:30 a.m. that morning.
Wow.
And they thoroughly investigated it, found no suspects, and nobody was ever, like, accused of the crime, and it just went unsolved.
No suspects?
No suspects.
They you'd think everyone on site would be a suspect.
But apparently it happened in the middle of the night, and then nobody was maybe there.
Who knows how they were set up their living quarters and all
right.
that.
Right, in, like, 1800s, like, they're not going to have, like, you know, oh, you know, let's
I'm surprised he even knew it was between accurate. That three-hour period.
Probably because they went to work early, and maybe the last person left at this time.
I mean, maybe, but I'm just...
context, like, you know, just who knows. But yeah, between midnight and 3:30.
Yeah, they worked 21-hour days, so it was during the 3 hours they were on.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's it. I mean, that's all it takes in the 1800s is hunches. Right?
That's right.
Like, oh, probably this. Yeah, you're right. Sounds about good. Rumors from the construction workers said that Kelly had been killed by the vengeful spirits of Brinkman and Nash. I mean, talk about office drama, right? Jeez, dragging
God,
it
since
on.
The dawn of goddamn time.
I hate office drama. And they began to talk about the tunnel being cursed. And, like, actually, it was so bad that the crew members, some of the crew members, just walked off the job. Like, fuck that shit.
Whoa.
Yeah. 1868. A mechanical engineer, because the rumors got so bad that this guy named Paul Travers was asked. He was a mechanical engineer and a cavalry officer during the Civil War. He was asked by Mr. Dunn from the construction company to kind of like examine the tunnel for these voices. I put that in quotation marks because the voices the construction guys heard.
Yeah.
He wanted to have a logical explanation for them. Like, it's just wind through the tunnel or like wind sweeping off the mountainside. Like, come back to work. Mm. Let me underpay you so you can almost shake hands with the devil. You know, come back.
No. This is so.
To reassure them
what I do.
That it's okay. Mm-hmm. So Dunn and Travers, Dunn actually joined in. They go into the tunnel September 8th. And according to Travers, remember, military engineer, he wrote to his sister and explained his experience. And he said, Dunn and I entered the tunnel at exactly 9 p.m. We traveled about 2 miles into the shaft, and then we stopped to listen. And as we stood there in the cold silence, we both heard what truly sounded like a man groaning out in pain. As you know, I have heard this sound many times during the war. Mm-hmm. Yet, when we turned up the wicks on our lamps, there was no other human beings in the shaft except Mr. Dunn and myself. I'll admit I haven't been this frightened since Shiloh. Maybe, I don't know what that means.
We don't know what happened at Shiloh.
I know.
Or maybe it was a bad ex-girlfriend. I know, right? So remember that thing with Shiloh?
Remember that bitch? That bitch was scary. This was just about that bad. Mr. Dunn agreed that it wasn't the wind we heard. And we were thinking, oh God, perhaps maybe the men are right. A month later, October 7th, the worst disaster in the history of the tunnel happened. A gas explosion blew apart the water pumping station on the surface, and 13 miners were killed when debris filled the central tunnel where they had been working. Ugh, imagine. I couldn't even go into a tunnel and start just like
No, I'd have to be so hungry.
Oh my God.
To take that kind of job.
Or even at that time, I bet like just jobs in general, like hard like labor and continuous, like you know this was gonna be a thing. That's tempting, man. 13 miners were killed when debris filled the central tunnel. Okay. A reporter from the North Adams Transcript wrote that a miner named Mallory was lowered into the bucket, into the shaft to just can see like if there's survivors. And he brought back, and he was brought back to the surface. He was nearly unconscious from the fumes inside, and he said, no hope. Mm. The 538-foot shaft filled with water, because remember the water pump. Mm-hmm. And eventually, the bodies of the dead crew members began to surface.
Oh.
And actually, it took an entire year until all the bodies were found from the from that disaster.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah, it was bad. And the guest, Glenn, he was a correspondent for that transcript, the new North Adams transcript. He said, during the times the miners were missing, villagers around the area told of strange tales of vague shapes, muffled wails near the water-filled pit.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Workmen claiming to see lost miners carrying picks and shovels through a shroud of mist and snow on the mountaintop. The ghostly apparitions would appear briefly and then vanish. And they would leave no footprints on the snow, giving no answer to the miners' calls.
Mm-hmm.
And then once all the bodies were found, like a year later, they gave them like a decent burial. And then they claimed that it stopped. The apparitions, the strange noises. So no more like moaning and groaning. They were like, okay, cool. But then again, something else happened.
Mm.
Two other guys in the went into the tunnel in 1872.
Okay.
Dr. Clifford J. Owen and J.R. McKinstry. James McKinstry was a drilling operations superintendent, so understood why he was at the tunnel. Dr. Clifford J. Owen, I don't know. He was just like, oh, maybe it has an ailment. Maybe that's why it's moaning. Take two of these and, you know. So I don't know why he was there. But they walked into the tunnel and they said about 2 miles, they like just stopped to rest. They had their lamps with them,
mm-hmm.
talked a little chit chat. How are things? How are things in drilling operations, James? That's all right. Then as they're talking, they heard a strange, almost groaning sound like someone was in pain.
Okay.
Then Dr. Clifford J. Owen wrote, the next thing I saw was a dim light coming along the tunnel in a westerly direction. And that would be the sum up of my journal, because I would have bolted the fuck out of there.
Yeah, and then I left
and
in a
then
hurry.
I left in a hurry. At first, no, these fuckers stayed. At first, I believed that it was probably a workman with a lantern.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, as the light grew closer, it took on a strange blue color and appeared to change in shape into the form of a human being with no head.
Oh.
Now, why his journal doesn't end there... Again, I would have been, and then I left. And then I said, bye. They foolishly stood there. That's me, by the way. That's not. They stood there, and the light, like, kind of just hovered in front of them, not moving, no head. And then it hovered off towards the east end of the tunnel and vanished. Owens later wrote that while he was, above all, a realist, and that he was not prone to repeating gossip and wild tales that defy reasonable explanation,
mm-hmm.
he was unable to deny what him and James had witnessed with their own eyes.
Ugh.
So there was something like floating. Ugh. Anyways.
And it looked human in form.
In form.
Yeah.
But it made out of light with no head.
But with no head, which is less common.
Right? It was, even as a ghost, it was unfortunate.
Yes.
Right? I mean, other ghosts have all of their body parts.
I do believe he's been through something.
Actually, when you're a miner and you die,
sometimes your head comes off. So.
It's very common. So in October 16, 1974, after, a local hunter named Frank Wabsetter vanished near the Hoosac Mountain. 3 days later, found wandering around Deerfield River. So he didn't die, but when they found him, he appeared to be in shock and was mumbling incoherently. Right? Like Wapner at 5. definitely Wheel of Fortune at 7. At 7. That's what I keep
fish
picturing.
Fish sticks at 3 o'clock.
Fish sticks.
Definitely
six fish sticks. Fish sticks. Okay. I could do that all day. So when they finally got him to talk, like, snap out of it, man.
Yeah.
He had heard strange voices that told him to go to Hoosac Tunnel.
But he didn't have to do it.
I know, but maybe.
I'm thinking he did it.
Maybe it was yelling at him. Like, come on. So when he got there, he did it. There were many ghostly figures wandering around. And at first I was like, oh, they invited him to the party. But no.
What'd they do?
They snatched a rifle away from him and beat him with it.
And beat him with it. That just seems so rude.
Like, he said he doesn't remember leaving the tunnel.
Oh.
And the search party found cuts and abrasions on his head.
Yeah.
That seemed like he did go through a beating. And they didn't find his rifle.
Did they check in the tunnel?
Did they check eBay?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, how are those ghosts going to make money? They got to make money.
Oh.
They did check the tunnel. They never found it.
Okay.
1875, going back to 1875, that was when the tunnel was finally finished. I'm sorry, but if a tunnel, maybe that was usual though, because like I said, limited technology. But 24 years for this fucking tunnel and all these deaths, shut it the fuck down. But anyways.
Just humans were expendable to the people owning whatever the thing, the railroad.
That needed to have.
Because it was a railroad tunnel?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it probably had a lot of money involved. Mm-hmm. So it was like, let's just keep throwing people at it. 1875, it was finished. The first train went through, so it popped its tunnel cherry. But wait, there's more. Hauntings. 1875, a fire tender on the, I mean, probably who tended fires. Weird.
Wild guess.
I know, right? Crack that code. But I didn't understand what this person, so anyways, he was.
I mean, I would way rather have that job if it's on the surface.
But like, what, okay, so he was a fire tender on the Boston and Mail rail line. So the fire that they put in.
Oh, so if it's
in, coal. Right.
Or ran, even steam. What is the, anyway, we don't need to know about the mechanics of trains, but yeah, he might have been throwing coal.
An old timey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Harlan Mulvaney, what happened to good old names like Harlan? He was taking a wagon load of wood into the tunnel. I don't know why.
Maybe
to the train?
Into the tunnel. Yeah, because they've already built the tunnel, so they're not looking for the braces.
And he was a fire tender to this rail lane. But he was a, see, this was a very vague, okay. This, they didn't spell things right. So,
taking,
you know,
a load of wood into the tunnel.
He went into the tunnel just a little ways and then turned around and rode out of the tunnel with, and apparently he had a team with him. A few days later, the workers found the team and the wagon in the forest about 3 miles away from the tunnel, and Harlan Mulvaney was never seen again.
Was the wood with them? I just out of curiosity.
You're just like concerned about the wood. Listen, the Boston Main Rail Line called me and they really need that wood. So
it's kind of expensive.
I'm sorry about Harlan, but did he drop it in the vicinity? So yeah. But also, so far, the ghosts have been pretty bad, but it's not always. We've had reports, or we've had reports.
Oh my God, are you Harlan?
Are you work at the HUSAC?
Harlan Cheney.
I know, right? So apparently a railroad employee, Joseph Impoco, whatever, he worked there for years and claims that the ghost saved his life twice.
Oh.
One day he was chipping ice from the tracks and he heard a voice tell him, "Run, Joe, run." Probably not like that, but I couldn't help myself. He looked back and he saw a train was right behind him.
Maybe it was the engineer on the train yelling it.
Well, he said that he jumped back to avoid getting hit, but he also added that he had seen a man pass by waving and swinging a torch.
Oh.
But he hadn't paid attention until that shout. Like, dude, Joseph, first of all, isn't there a schedule for trains?
It seemed like there'd be a schedule. It seems like the sound of the train would alert him. The shaking rails might alert him. The
right?
guy with the torch who was unexpected might have at least made him look up.
Right. Like, oh yeah, I don't know.
They're like, we tried anyway to get that son of a bitch's attention to get him off the tracks. We
finally
get
the ghosts were like, oh my God.
Get off the track.
Holy shit. Joseph, for fuck's sakes. We sent a guy out.
Right? We've been yelling your name for like 30 minutes.
Fuck. And
deaf
then.
Bastard.
6 weeks later.
I love this story.
He was working on fucking Joseph, working on the tracks again. Here's another one that I didn't understand. He was trying to free some freight cars from the tracks with a crowbar. And he heard the voice again, Joe, fuck. No, they didn't. I'm paraphrasing. But he heard, Joe, drop it, Joe. And he was like, okay, because now he finally got the hint.
Uh-huh.
He dropped it, and when he released the bar, it jolted and was thrown against the tunnel wall by 11,000 volts of electricity.
Whoa.
Apparently, the charge came from a short-circuited overhead power line. So would that affect the railway?
So, okay, so did the power line, was it a broken power line that, like, fell and touched the metal
That's
of the rail?
That's what I was wondering. Like, okay, a short-circuited overhead power line,
uh-huh.
How would that affect him working on the railway? So that...
Unless it fell and touched the metal. Like
maybe.
That.
Oh, maybe. But anyways.
So he dropped the crowbar.
The crowbar went bzzzt and hit the wall. Because he probably dropped the crowbar on the rail.
Yeah.
It was very unclear. But anyways, Joe's alive.
For what possible good reason? I mean, it does seem like Darwinism should have kind of
I know, kind of went in there, right? Yeah. They tried twice.
Oh, dear God.
So, but the ghosts apparently like Joe.
I guess they do.
They love them some Joe. So anyways. And then, of course, there was a... it became a popular hangout for ghost hunters in the 70s and 80s uh-huh. when there was like a whole story about it. And so like 1976, a researcher from Agawam, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. claimed to come face to face with one of the local denizens. He described the figure of a man in old-fashioned work clothing, backlit against the brilliant white
backlit.
Light. I love that backlit.
I fell in love.
Like, he walked out of the tunnel like, here comes Harlan in old-fashioned timey. And you can see the rip of his clothing beautifully what matches his work boots.
Yummy.
Backlit. And then this was at the very end. It said, perhaps the Mohawk Indians were right. They named... I saw your face. They named the place Hoosac... They named the place Hoosac Mountain, which in their language means forbidden. Hello.
Oh my God, never respect the natives.
Mother of
just
fuck.
Just comes back to you.
Can we please listen to the Indians? Can we please? Like, it's like going to like someone's house and they're like, hey, don't go in there. It's full of dog shit. And you go in there and go, what's with all the dog shit?
Yeah, and you're like, I told you there was dog shit. Stop it.
It's like, bitch, we done told you. Fuck. Okay, that's my story. I'm so pissed.
Oh my God.
That's my story.
It was just reopened this April 4th after being closed for repairs for the past several weeks. It was closed for a few weeks and just for repairs and then just
I wonder
reopened.
If they still do paranormal investigations.
Oh,
that
yeah,
would be
I
interesting.
Wonder.
Probably not. I would think it would get too crowded. And does a train still go through there? Probably not either. We don't
well,
use...
yeah, because really? They just did repairs. Oh, on the tunnel.
On
Let
the
me
tunnel
see.
Itself.
Yeah, February was closed to rail traffic after a collapse, but mm-hmm. it was just reopened.
I see.
Okay.
Well, that was a great episode.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And we found another thing in common. Circus peanuts and Bitto honeys.
I know.
Yeah.
So that'll be in our rider if we have to share a room.
Yes. That's great. Put yeah. that on artichokes.
And what was it? Salt and vinegar chips?
Oh my God, yes. Salt and vinegar chips. And then for both of us.
Yeah.
Circus peanuts and Bitto honey. Correct. All right.
We have monsters.
All right, guys. You guys go forth and enjoy your version of Bitto honeys and circus peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Tell us what they are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bye.
Tell us what they are and bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Wait, What?
And remember, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and you've got to meet our intern, Sarah. She's all over TikTok.
And you can find all this on our website on waitwhatpodcast.com with 3 A's.